We better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk, and we're reviewing Dr. Robert Schuller's sermon from this Sunday, right before the 4th of July. He's talking about how to make America even more beautiful than it already is. It's part of our regular review of sermons here on Issues Etc. Tomorrow on the program, Eternal Rewards. What does the Bible really teach about eternal rewards? Dr. Jeff Gibbs and Ken Samples on Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh-day, I better get ready to pronounce this before tomorrow, Seventh-day Adventism. They were meeting in St. Louis here. And we'll talk about that particular, what do you call it, Christian heresy, a cult? I have no idea what Seventh-day Adventism is or how to categorize it. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Ken Samples on the program. All right, Dr. Schuller has laid out how it is that America has been great and been beautiful by believing in itself and being proud of who we are. He asks the question, how can we continue to be at our best? We'll get his answer in a minute. You can also chime in and comment on this sermon. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Well, on Mother's Day, we'll take the letters of the word mother and we'll play them out in sermon after sermon about how great our mothers are. Dr. Schuller does the same with the word America.
Let me take the letters of America, and I will tie in the values around these letters. America, as I suppose most people know, would be spelled A-M-E-R-I-C-A. The first letter, A, will stand for attitude. The last letter is an A, and it will stand for achievement. The middle letter is R. It will stand for religion. Take the last letter, the first letter, and the middle letter. If you can't remember the rest, you can at least remember those and take them home with you after the whole message is over. But let me look at them. Attitude. This America started very distinctly among nations in the planet Earth, please, wherever you're from. It's a young country, only 229 years old. And our people came by ships, boats. It was a risky trip. They came with the I can spirit. They came with the I am a human being. I deserve the right to be free. I am. I can. I will be free. I will not be oppressed. I will not be a slave. I am, I can, I will, I believe. That attitude made us a nation from the beginning of optimism. Yes. Pessimism has not been a dominant mental attitude in this country. Oh, the waves come and the voices can be heard that would put us down. I am somebody. I can be somebody.
All right, now, before we go on to M, that's A, our attitude. And he said it several times. I am, I can, I will. I am, I can, I will. Now, as I said before the break, if he were simply talking about the spirit of, this is basically just old-fashioned humanism. The original humanism, not secular humanism, but the old-fashioned humanism that, of course, we did inherit from our European ancestors and our European ancestry. What he fails to mention, by the way, are the other things that have been done in the name of I can, I am, I can, and I will. You know where it eventually leads, don't you? You know where it led to in Europe. And America got there just more slowly and in a more circuitous route. You know where it leads to. You know the greatest advocate of I am, I can, I will. You might not even know his name. You might if I mention it. Friedrich Nietzsche. He stands at the very dead end. You know, at the end of a dead end road, there's always the sign that says, no way out, dead end. What do they say? Not a through road. Well, Friedrich Nietzsche lives down at the end of the dead end road that is European optimism in the human spirit. See, Europe did all this before. They entertained this optimistic spirit of I am, I can, I will. As long as we're doing history lessons, I'll do a little one of my own. Friedrich Nietzsche lived down at the end of the dead end road, that is European optimism. And to his last and dying breath, he clung tenaciously to I am, I can, I will. He wrote about what, and you should read him sometime. It would give you some insight into where this road that Dr. Schuller advocates for us as individuals and us as a country will eventually lead. Unbridled optimism in our own abilities and our own capacities, it leads ultimately to nihilism, to the elevation of the individual over all things, and in Nietzsche's case, ultimately over God. Nietzsche invented a new God. After he declared the old God dead, Nietzsche declared a new God. He called it the Übermensch, which is just the German way of saying the Superman or the Overman. You know what characterized the Übermensch, this man who strode the earth and declared, I am, I can, I will? Nietzsche called it the will to power. The will to power. And I don't think Nietzsche lived to see it, but it actually did come to fruition in a few of those men I mentioned earlier in our sermon review, men like Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin. The will to power. You see, it's an attitude that, while it may serve you very well in the business world, if it is not tempered by a real healthy and complete view of oneself, that is, especially in light of Scripture, of one's sin, it will eventually lead to nihilism, to what we live in today. A declaration that there is no truth, that I make my own truth because I am, I can, I will. And there is no right and wrong. I can make my own right and wrong because I am, I can, I will. I know people tend to giggle at Robert Schuller because he's kind of quaint. But at the very heart of it, what he advocates for us as individuals and here as a country is really very serious stuff. Okay, so A begins with attitude. Here comes M.
I will. I have an attitude. And M. The letter N, let that stand for mission. If you have a positive attitude, then you will and you must write your mission statement. Now, these principles that I'm giving you this morning do not just apply to the country as a whole, but they apply. They apply to you privately and individually in your own life. You need an attitude. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? Define your mission. And when you define your mission, begin at the end. Set a goal and start there. Set your destination and let that guide your trail. Don't start with where you are. Start with where you want to go and write your mission statement. Very important. And those 13 colonists, they had a mission statement. They called it the Declaration of Independence. And what it stood for was freedom. The key word in our nation is independence. Freedom. Not to be oppressed or manipulated by any kind of a governance. Oh, I think back not too many years ago when Reagan was still alive. And he met Gorbachev at the Berlin Wall, where I've been a few times before the wall came down. And Gorbachev heard Reagan say, "Tear that wall down!" Gorbachev did. Oh, I was there the other day, only a couple weeks ago. I had to speak in Berlin, and I had never been back there since the wall came down. I stayed in the hotel that was built since the wall came down. It's just on the east side, so I'd never been on that ground. And from my hotel room, I could look and see the Brandenburg Gate about 600 feet from my eyes. And the whole street, people were walking, husbands and wives, lovers, holding their hands and children. Beautiful sight. Brandenburg Gate never looked so beautiful to me as it did when I saw so many people walking underneath it, happy and free. Wow. And for the first time, I stood over the bunker where Hitler killed himself. Some green grass over it today, a few trees. But his ashes are down there. People who oppress freedom will ultimately fail. Oppression is against human nature. Freedom mission. That's our attitude. It's positive. Our mission is freedom. And that extends into our foreign policy. Now, this may be hard for some of you to believe. Don't try to jump ahead of me. I know if you don't agree with me where you are, and I'll respect that.
All right, before he goes on to make a statement that I think he considers to be unbelievably controversial, but is really quite innocuous, can't let him go by without one thing that he said there. Oppression is against human nature. I know that's a very American idea. It's very unbiblical, but it's a very American idea that oppression is against human nature. The human nature is this human spirit striving to be free. And those things make us feel good. But Scripture says the human spirit doesn't ultimately strive to be free. Well, yes, it does. It strives to be free of everything, including God and of our neighbor, and to be free at everyone else's expense. Which is one of the things that might make the United States somewhat unique in human history. But I digress there. Oppression is completely consistent with human nature. He talks about standing over Hitler's grave and standing over the Brandenburg Gate, and one would hope that Dr. Schuller could learn the lessons of history. I mean, if he's going to engage us in a history lesson, there's no sermon here. By the way, if you've noticed, he's actually mentioned Hitler, Mikhail Gorbachev, Ronald Reagan, and somebody else very famous, and has deftly avoided mentioning Jesus at all. But he makes this statement that oppression is against human nature. It is not. It is part and parcel of human nature. What was it? One of the philosophers of the same age that I was talking about, Friedrich Nietzsche, say that the only empirically provable doctrine of Scripture is original sin. Because we just have human history as more than enough evidence that we are, by nature, sinful. That oppression is not an aberration in human history. It is, in fact, the norm in human history. It is not against human nature. It is an outgrowth of our fallen human natures. You see, he's got a very different picture of human beings, and therefore a different picture of freedom. He sees freedom as the natural course of the human spirit. Sin doesn't seem to present a problem. What does Scripture say? No, we are, oppression is part and parcel of who we are as fallen sinners, and the freedom that we don't yearn for can only be found in Jesus Christ. He's going to talk a lot in this sermon about freedom. But so far, and we'll keep our ears open here through the rest of this sermon, so far he has spoken not a word about the only freedom there really is, the only real freedom there is, the only real freedom from that nature that binds us to our sin, is the one who, taking on our nature without our sin, bore our sin and bought our freedom from sin and from death and from the devil with his life at the cross. He goes on. He has not finished with America's mission yet.
Just listen. We have never given the lives of our boys to be blown apart in a war. And we've been in wars, many wars in our 229 years, but we've never gone there to steal. We've never gone there to oppress the people and control them and have power over them. It's never been our attitude. And whatever you think of the Iraq War, that was not our mission in Iraq. Every time we fought a war, we couldn't wait to come home. Now, we want to come home from Iraq. Of course we do. But what is our goal? Our goal is the freedom for human beings. You see, we live in freedom. We breathe freedom. There's never been a country like us. And if that's where you're born and raised, you get so absorbed and consumed by freedom that you just can't sit quietly without trying to share it with those who don't have it. And that's what we've tried to do, and I'm proud of it. Our attitude is, we can. We can make it. We take the risks. You bet we do. We have a mission. It's freedom.
Now, this is a good example here where I agree with what Dr. Schuller said. It's not what he's saying that troubles me. It's what he isn't saying. He's standing in the pulpit of his own church on national and international television on a Sunday morning speaking to his congregation and preaching the great virtues of American freedom, but not Christ. Now, I agree with him. I don't think, although our motives have never been pure, of course, I don't think the United States has gone to war to oppress people in its history. That's fine. I agree. It's just irrelevant. Even on the day before the 4th of July, it's entirely irrelevant. The freedom that Dr. Schuller's people need to hear about is not the kind of freedom that America has embodied in its long 229-year history. The kind of freedom they need to hear about is the kind of freedom they need that only Christ has won at the cross. He speaks well of America, and he gets loud and long applause. He doesn't even mention Jesus. Did you hear a sermon like this on Sunday? I mean, maybe not as eloquently put and without the acronyms that Dr. Schuller so freely employs. Did you hear a sermon like this that extolled the virtues of America, or even your own virtues as an American? That waved the flag in your face but kept the cross hidden from view? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're reviewing Dr. Robert Schuller's sermon from Sunday, Making America More Beautiful, A-M-E.
The E, let that stand for education. There has always been in this country a desire for education. Now, that's not been the case in many countries. Let me be specific. Most so-called education in many countries has been indoctrination, not education. The freedom to discuss and say and argue and debate and disagree is quickly put down in the history of many nations. Not in America. We have some terrible disagreements in the educational world, of course. But the alternative would be horrible for a committee in Washington to decide what can be taught, what questions can be asked, and what can be debated. We believe in education, not indoctrination. Very, very fundamental. Attitude leads to mission. Mission, you got to get smart. then religion. You know, just before the Declaration of Independence was completed, one of the men stood up. You probably remember it was Witherspoon.
All right, now before he gets on with what Witherspoon had to say at the signing of the Declaration of Independence, he had education there. Attitude leads to mission, mission to education, and then education to A-M-E-R, religion. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. We're going to have to stop this here somewhere in the middle but as we go to our break, but I want you to listen very carefully about what Dr. Schuller has to say about religion. And remember this, in our diagnostic, where it is, how often is Jesus mentioned, that first part of the diagnostic? Not how often is God mentioned, or the Almighty, or the Creator. How often is Jesus mentioned? And in Dr. Robert Schuller's case here, not how often religion is mentioned. A-M-E-R, R stands for religion. Here is his story about what Witherspoon had to say to those who were signing the Declaration of Independence.
He was the only minister in the group, and he said, I want God added to this Declaration of Independence. And they agreed. And God was added to our Declaration of Independence. And people who object to God may try to take it out of many places in our nation, and they have tried, but they will never, never dare to take it out of the Declaration of Independence. Thank you, Witherspoon. Religion. It's what gives us the faith. And if I could just speak on one Bible verse this morning, it would be from Psalm 27. It was a verse that motivated people to cross the ocean and land in this totally unpopulated, uncivilized territory half a world away. What is that Bible verse? And how did it keep us here these 200 plus years? Psalm 27. I would have been disheartened if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
All right, he's quoted a Bible passage, which is unusual for Dr. Schuller. He does it occasionally, but he's quoted Psalm 27, verse 3. He is about to, I'll give you a heads up, completely and entirely misapply it. I mean, it's one thing to quote the Bible. Anyone can quote the Bible, right? The question is, what do you say it means when you apply that passage? Now, we don't have time before we go to this break, but when we come back, we'll hear how he applies Psalm 27, verse 3. I would have been disheartened if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And maybe at this point in this sermon, in spite of yourself, you're feeling that flutter of your internal American flag, and it's in there blowing mightily in the breeze, and you're saying, come on, it was the 4th of July, and we're gearing up for the national holiday there on Sunday, and that's not too far from the sermon I heard on Sunday, and come on. It's the one day that we get to celebrate really being Americans in our great history of freedom. Can't we give Jesus just one Sunday off? Dr. Schuller has. He apparently thinks we can.
Christ-centered. Cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When was the last time you heard a sermon where the law of God was preached in such a way so that you knew you deserved hell and damnation? And the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached in such a way so that you knew that Jesus had taken everything you deserved at the cross? Does the church save that kind of preaching for special occasions, or should the preaching of law and gospel be for every sinner, every Sunday, at every opportunity? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is called Handling the Word of Truth, Law and Gospel in the Church Today. The book is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the book Handling the Word of Truth. Issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
millions of years. Who cares anyway?
Answers with Ken Ham, a popular speaker on the creation-evolution controversy. Well, Ken, on this broadcast, we often talk about the fact that the Earth is not millions of years old. But does the average Christian really care if that fact is important?
You know, I speak to Christians all over the world, Mark, and many of them just don't see why the age of the Earth is such a big deal. A deacon at a church in Florida was once asked by a creation speaker and a friend of mine how long he thought God took to create the Earth. The deacon said, "I don't care if it took him 25,000 years. I just believe he did it." On the surface, that doesn't appear to be a horrible answer. But here's the problem. Although he was, in his own way, attempting to give God the glory for the creation by saying he didn't care how long it took, he was actually discounting God's word. In Exodus 20, verse 11, we read, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them." Now, 6 days is not 25,000 years. You see, it's not how long we think it took God to create. It's how long he says it took. It's his word that's important.
Ken Ham has written a new booklet that discusses the timely topic of today's culture wars. This free booklet on an important theme can be found on our radio website, AnswersRadio.com. Next time you're in front of your computer, go to AnswersRadio.com. You'll be built up in your faith.
Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that he's working through the water of baptism, he's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Carpets Plus and Cabinets Plus, 4530 Lime Ferry Road. Sean Yeager and his family offer hardwood floors, laminate flooring, carpet, ceramic tile, and kitchen and bath remodeling with guaranteed professional installation and personal service. Carpets Plus and Cabinets Plus, 4530 Lime Ferry Road in South St. Louis County, an underwriter of AM 850 KFUO.
Coming up Friday on Issues Etc., a genuine Issues Etc. classic. It's not old. It's not classic because it's old. It's classic because it's classic in content. It's actually quite new. A conversation with Dr. Carl Fikencher, one of the very best conversations we have had on the subject of preaching Christ and Him crucified. In fact, that is the subject of the conversation, Preaching Christ Crucified, with Dr. Carl Fikencher, Friday on Issues Etc. This is one you're going to want to make a special effort to tune into. Tell your friends, your family, co-workers, guy you meet on the street, Shuler fans, Warren fans, Hybels fans, have them all tune in and listen to Dr. Carl Fikencher about what it sounds like when someone preaches Christ and Him crucified. Now, by way of contrast, here's what it sounds like when someone isn't preaching Christ and Him crucified. Dr. Robert Shuler's sermon. We've got 25 minutes left in the program and just about 10 minutes left in his sermon. Hopefully we'll be able to leave some time for your questions and your comments. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. He's walking us through the word America. That's so telling, isn't it? I mean, you know what the sermon is about. The title says, Making America More Beautiful, which might have some kind of sappy potential for maybe shoehorning the cross into that message somehow. But when he finally gets to the preaching of his sermon, he just walks us through the word America, A-M-E, and now we're at R, religion. He has quoted the Bible passage, Psalm 27, verse 3, "I would have been disheartened if I did not believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." This Bible passage He's quoted it accurately. Let's see how he applies it.
That's the verse that inspired our people. I belong to an organization. It's called Reformed Church in America. It's quite a small church, and the churches are not all alike. It started in 1628, when 58 Dutchmen sent by the Queen of Holland to find a territory and join the new thing that was happening, exploring this new promised land. Well, they came, and they established a church. And he called it the Reformed Church. There are roots of our faith. It's religion. And I found a cute little story the other day I have to share with you. This little boy was with his mother and father, and they went out to a restaurant, and the little boy said, "Mom, be sure we have ice cream for dessert." And she said, "Okay, maybe we'll think about it, but we got to pray first." And she said, "You pray." And the little boy bowed his head and he said, "Dear God, thank you for the food." And then real loud, "And please, God, send ice cream for dessert." Well, diners within earshot smiled. They thought it was cute. But one disagreeable woman remarked quite loudly, "Praying for ice cream? Children should be taught to pray properly." And the little boy heard it, was ashamed, bowed his head. "Did I do something wrong, Mommy? Is God mad at me?" The boy, she looked, "No, son. Ice cream is good for the soul." And they both laughed. Well, they did order ice cream for dessert. But when it arrived, the boy generously offered his dish and brought it to the woman who had scolded him. "Ice cream is good for the soul," he explained sweetly. "And since my soul is already good, I'm giving it to you."
That's his joke in the sermon here. Very interesting. And I know he did not intend it this way, but in an ironic way, quite telling when it comes to Robert Schuller's theology. I think you could kind of, maybe that should be his next book. Ice cream is good for the soul. I mean, it would fit beautifully with what we're hearing here. Kind of ice cream for the soul. I don't know what the story had to do with anything. But there it is. But I think that ought to be I think that really ought to be the title of his next book. Ice cream is good for the soul, because what he presents here tastes good, smells good, looks good. It's pleasing to the senses, it's pleasing to every impulse in us. It's what we want to hear. It's ice cream for the soul. Doesn't have any nutritional value, will, if consumed on a regular basis, give you a heart attack and kill you. Ice cream for the soul. Steve calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Two quick points. First of all, a friend of mine refers to this kind of preaching as Republican Christianity, as in Republican Party, wrap God up in the flag, and, you know, we're all good. I'm sure there's a few people out here who probably don't like that concept. My other point was, and this guy, Schuller, kind of reminds me of the prior hour concept. Discussion you were having about the UCC, when you have church bodies that don't have doctrines that they hold their pastors to, you're going to run like this all the time, because there's nothing that says this is what we stand for and this is what we preach.
Interesting, so. Steve. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, as far as I know, and this is just a little interesting side note on Dr. Schuller, and I'm far less concerned about Schuller as I am about what he teaches, and I think that's a distinction that needs to be constantly made during these sermon reviews. I'm not particularly interested in Robert Schuller himself. It is in what he teaches, and that distinction is very, very important. He is a member of that little denomination. I think he's Reformed. Let me look it up real quick here. Yeah, Reformed Church in America. He is still a member of that denomination, as far as I know. And he does still, at least in theory, affirm its doctrinal statements. And he did do his graduate work, a commentary on the Institutes of Christian Religion by John Calvin. He knows what it is that Reformed, at least that branch of the Reformation, teaches. He consciously rejects much of it, including its teaching on sin. So maybe oddly, Steve, in this case, it's not a problem of someone who isn't being held to a doctrinal standard. It's a problem who is simply ignoring a doctrinal standard. You see, and just let me make this point before we go on. We can have all the doctrinal standards we want, and we should. That is the real disease that is plaguing the church right now. But even churches that have, I'm a member of one, have very strict doctrinal standards but refuse to abide by them or enforce them. Well, you can be orthodox on paper, but you can deny in practice what you affirm on paper. Which is all the more reason both to have the standards and to adhere to them. Okay, see, where are we? We've got, he's still on R, religion.
Ah, America. Attitude. Out of attitude will arise your mission. Out of your mission will come. Finally, the center letter, religion, R. Belief in God. I would have been disheartened if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Anybody who has a positive attitude and takes a mission that involves risk has to trust in God, or you'll give up. Well, part of our religion is to share. This has never been a country so Christian as the United States. You say, what? Yeah, that's true. With all of its scandals, I was in New York, as you could tell, this week, and I accepted an invitation to have a private visit with the Cardinal Egan, who's become a good friend. And I said, well, Cardinal, I've really been praying for your churches, especially with these terrible sexual scandals. He looked at me and he said, it's terrible. And no apologies. But he said, the press hasn't been fair. He said, you know how many sexual scandals we've had in the whole New York diocese? How many do you think? I said, I have no idea. His answer, zero. Not one. Not one single person in the entire New York diocese ever complained that he'd been sexually abused. But you don't read that. So, we work together in religion, and that's why as a country, we just got to get better. I had fainted, lost heart, would have given up, quit, walked away, abandoned the dream, given up on my mission. I would have been disheartened if I had not believed that the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living was coming up and I would see it.
All right. I want to point out something here. First of all, he's completely misapplied the passage, because what he basically has applied it to is we just need a better, more positive attitude. And the press is an example of such a negative attitude, and we need a more positive attitude. But look at what he does with this passage. By the way, he says it's Psalm 27:3. It's actually Psalm 27:13. When given enough time, he doesn't even quote it accurately. I had fainted, lost heart, would have given up, quit, walked away, abandoned the dream, given up on my mission. He tacks all that stuff in there had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I'm not trying to be a stickler. I just do believe in verbal inspiration, that every word in the Bible is inspired and they're all important, and that we shouldn't go adding words to what the Holy Spirit has given us in Holy Scripture. And he's added a whole slew of words there. The verse reads, "Oh, had I not believed that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It doesn't say, I had fainted, lost heart, given up, walked away, quit, abandoned the dream, given up on my mission. And interestingly, we are about 4 minutes away from the end of this sermon, if not less. He's quoted the passage several times. He hasn't told us what the goodness of the Lord is. Now, he's left for the listener to imply that the goodness of the Lord is how good America is, which is a message that I imagine plays very well and is playing very well with his congregation and his audience on the Sunday before the 4th of July. It misses just one thing, besides misapplying the passage and locating the goodness of the Lord someplace other than the Lord has located it. It misses the cross entirely. It's a message that you can preach to great ovation without even mentioning Jesus or what Jesus has done for us. There's always a problem when you get done with the sermon and you say amen at the end of your sermon and you say to yourself, that was a great sermon. I didn't even have to mention the cross. That was a great sermon. I didn't have to mention Jesus. I gave Jesus the day off. He didn't even have to lift a finger in that sermon. If you can take Jesus, this is a good rule of thumb that I think we get from Kim Riddlebarger, if I'm not mistaken. No. I won't even try the name anymore because the name is not at the tip of my mind. Good little rule of thumb when you're listening to a sermon. If you can take Jesus out of the sermon and it still makes perfect sense, then it wasn't a Christ-centered or cross-focused sermon. Jesus just got honorable mention. If you can take Jesus and the cross out of a sermon that you hear and it still makes absolutely perfect sense, you did not hear the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Well, Schuller's just taking that a step further. He's just leaving Jesus out at the front end. A-M-E-R, here comes I.
Wow, religion. And that religion strengthens us for the I. The I is individualism. Committees don't ultimately change the situation. It's always the power of one. One person, like a Weatherspoon who says, we need God in there. One person, like a Hancock. The independence is all set up. Now the 13 people are asked to sign it. Sign it? They're still citizens of the mother country. And if they sign it, that's a penalty of the law, punished by death. And they know it. They got over here in rickety boats. But the mother country, be it England or France, could come over here quite easily with power vessels. Nobody signed it. Nobody dared to. They wrote it, but they didn't sign it. And one guy who never did much talking, his name was Hancock. You don't hear much about Hancock. Ultimately, leadership is in the force that starts a movement. Hancock stood up. Everybody looked at him. And he walked to the Declaration, picked up the pen, and signed his name. He turned around and said, I signed it. I do not want to go to the gallows alone. All of you, come and sign it too. And if we go to the gallows, we go together. And then they all came and they signed it, and it became the new mission statement of a new nation. Shock the world. Nobody would ever have predicted 200 years ago that history would be what it is today, with America the power nation that it is. Individualism. A-M-E-R-I. See, compassionate community. Yes, we're still a compassionate community, even though we may seem so individualistic. Look what happened at 9/11. The people came out from all over New York to donate their blood. When the tornado wiped my family out completely, none of us died, we escaped. But my father lost everything there was, the house and everything in it. What happened? Oh, the neighbors came like farmers would always do. Help pick up the rubble. Yeah. And help build a new barn. And help harvest the food because our equipment was gone. That's a pretty deep spirit in the United States of America. Compassionate community. And that leads to achievement. Yes, finally, we succeed. And it's impossible. I say it is impossible for anybody to fail completely. And we all fail somewhere, sometime. Achievement is impossible to the person who has a positive attitude, a noble mission, a decent education, religion, individualist spirit, a compassionate community attitude. Achievement waits for you. From attitude to achievement. But don't forget what's in the middle, and that's religion. Dear God, thank you for America. Hallelujah. Amen.
Okay, this will be an easy one, folks, if we're applying our three-part diagnostic. And look, I don't think this is an unfair test to put any sermon to. That a preacher who claims to be a preacher of the cross and of Christ... Now, if you want to claim to be a preacher of something else, go right ahead. If you say, I don't preach the cross, I just preach rank moralism. Which is what Christianity is if you take the cross out. I don't preach the cross, I preach human works. If that's what you claim... I will not blame you for not preaching the cross. You're only doing what you say you're going to do. But for those who say they preach the cross and they preach Christ to sinners, I think it's only fair to hold them to the standard of our little diagnostic here, that Jesus get mentioned, that he be the subject of the verbs, and those verbs actually describe what Jesus has done for us. And this is going to be a no-brainer because Jesus wasn't mentioned at all. Therefore, you can't go on to the other two parts of the diagnostic. Who did get mentioned in this sermon by Dr. Robert Shuler? He mentioned a lot of people. Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev, Witherspoon, John Hancock, Cardinal Egan. Heck, even Adolf Hitler and the Queen of Holland got mentioned in this sermon. Jesus was missing. And it's not just Robert Shuler. For those who think I'm kind of picking on this aged preacher, it's not just Robert Shuler. You know, the only reason we play these sermon reviews is not to point out the particular omissions, these glaring omissions in the preaching of Robert Shuler. If you think that's what this is about, you're missing the point. It's to tune your ears so that you will listen for Christ when your preacher stands in the pulpit of your church. So that your ears are tuned to listen for Christ, and when he's not there, you actually notice it. And you say, perhaps to your pastor, in a kind and humble way, Pastor, you had a lot of good advice. You had some interesting things to say. I liked what you had to say, but you left out what I really needed. The crucified and risen Christ for me. You left him out. Don't leave him out next Sunday. You might not think you need him, but I do. You might be tired of preaching him. And if you are, you might want to consider a different line of work. You might be bored with the subject of sin and God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, Pastor, but... And even the majority of the people in this congregation might be bored with it. But hell will be full of people who said, I am, I can, I will. Hell will be full of people who had memorized down to the smallest detail all of the house rules and regulations and little moralisms that get preached in this pulpit. And all the principles for living and life application lessons and everything else that's there. Hell will be full of people like that. The only thing that's going to keep people out of hell is that man on the cross. And how can they believe, if I could be so bold as to quote Paul, how will they believe if they have never heard? It's not just Robert Schuller. He's a glaring example. I mean, how glaring can you get through an entire nationally, internationally televised sermon from your pulpit on a Sunday morning, completely surrounded with all the trappings of a church? And how glaring can it be, not to mention Jesus at all, to have mentioned Reagan, Gorbachev, Witherspoon, Hancock, Hitler, Egan, and the Queen of Holland, but somehow forgotten to mention Jesus? To talk about freedom without the freedom that is ours through Christ's death and resurrection. To talk about human virtue rather than the sinless life of Jesus Christ. To recommend to people the creed, I am, I can, I will, rather than, as the scriptures so clearly teach, I am not, I cannot, and I haven't, but Christ has in my place. I can't think of a more glaring example. There was someone, oh, it must have been Danforth's sermon at, who died? Ronald Reagan? Yeah. When we heard it and we reviewed it as part of our regular sermon review, I said, worst sermon ever that we've ever reviewed. But I think Dr. Schuller has taken the cake. But it's not just Robert Schuller. Every preacher who gives Jesus a Sunday, every Sunday, most Sundays, any Sunday off, and preaches something other than your sin and his sinlessness, your debt and his payment of that debt, your death, his life, your disobedience, his obedience, your unholiness, his holiness, your unrighteousness, his righteousness, your life, such as it is, his cross for you. Any, every preacher that fails to preach that is failing in what God has sent him to do and has absolutely nothing to offer. Tomorrow on the program, Eternal Rewards with Dr. Jeff Gibbs, and we'll talk about Seventh-day Adventism with Ken Samples. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.